Greetings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Horror / Tober Edition. I am Daniel Shine, joined by producer Todd Loya.
What's up?
Hugs Dread.
Namaste. What's up?
And Mike Kruger.
What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
So, Kruger, explain our / Tober concept to the good people.
So what we do for our / Tober special is rate and review a slasher film, and then at the end of the episode, we will add that movie to a list compiled from our previous episodes, and from there, we will vote and eliminate one slasher from that list, leaving us with our top three slashers, aka our three final girls. So Todd, why don't you tell us what our final girl list is so far and what we are reviewing tonight?
All right. So our final girls are Just Before Dawn, Skinner, Slumber Party Massacre, Eliminated Last Show was Edge of the Axe, and up for discussion and contention tonight is Eyes of a Stranger.
Absolutely. So for those of you unfamiliar, Eyes of a Stranger is a 1981 slasher film from director Ken Wiederhorn. And in this film, a lovely blind and deaf teen reaches for a plate she just put on the counter. It's gone. She reaches again, and it's back in its original place. Someone is playing a cruel game with her. That someone is the serial killer terrorizing Miami in this terrifying thriller, The Eyes of a Stranger. Eyes of a Stranger, 1981, again, powerhouse year for slasher films. It's actually was also produced by Georgetown Productions, which of course produced the original Friday the 13th. And the writer, Ron Kurse, was also the writer on Friday the 13th, 1 and 2. So certainly has its connections to one of the heavyweights. Director Ken Wiederhorn, he's certainly familiar to horror fans for Return of the Living Dead 2 and Shockwaves. Famously, he's not a big fan of horror films, though, oddly enough. This was kind of original. Well, he did some good work, though.
Fuck him. Goddamn.
But this film was developed originally kind of as a classic Hitchcockian type thriller, and I mean, you could still kind of see that, but it certainly became a slasher film. And this is kind of in the normal Joe Schmo variety in terms of the killer, which I say is a good thing. Well, sometimes it's a good thing because you just get that normal, everyday looking businessman type. And I think it kind of works here. It makes it a little more scary, not somebody you'd necessarily look twice at. This is the debut of Jennifer Jason Leigh, who went on to give us to this very day some fantastic movie memories. And she's really good here. Some people get mixed up. She's not the star of this film, which is actually Lauren Toos, who plays her big sister. And she's fantastic. There's a particularly suspenseful bit where she's in the killer's lair and narrowly avoiding capture. I really love this film. This is one hell of a time in the genre where there's a lot of great films, but I think this actually stands up with the best of them, or most of the best of them. I have one issue with it that's a spoiler that I'll get in. It's just like that one thing that I always thought was a little bit dumb, but aside from that, this is actually a fantastic film. Extremely well acted. Nobody's off their game. And tense, suspenseful throughout. Kruger, is this a first-time watch for you?
Yeah, this is the first time I saw this one. And first thing I noticed was the soundtrack. I thought it was really good. I also thought the characters were pretty good. Like, I liked Jane and how she was trying to protect her disabled sister throughout the whole film, and, you know, her whole backstory on, you know, why her sister was disabled and all of that. I thought was pretty well done, kind of fucked up, honestly. I also dug our killer. You know, like you said, he's kind of just a normal guy in this, but he did some things that kind of reminded me of Billy from Black Christmas. So that was pretty cool. And, you know, not only was he killing people, you know, he was sexually assaulting them too, which kind of brings him on a different level than, you know, other killers that we've gotten. And I thought the actor who played him, Joe DeSanti, was fucking awesome. I thought he gave a great performance and played the perfect, you know, antagonist for this movie. I thought the movie started out really strong too, with like the opening scene, and from there, you know, the whole story I just thought was really well paced and never really drags any time, and it doesn't take long for us to see bloodshed either, which, you know, definitely kept me interested. Also, like you already brought up, there's some good tension there, especially towards the end between Jane's sister and the killer. I thought all that stuff was pretty fucking great, and the kills were actually pretty well done too. It kind of surprised me how brutal some of the sequences we got in this were. And there was even a little bit of gore, which was nice. So definitely, this is a new favorite for me. I'm glad I finally checked it out. And like you already said, 81 is such an amazing year. Like, I need to go down and look at all the slasher films from 81 and make sure I've seen them all, because they all are really consistently awesome. And this is, you know, this is no different. We briefly talked about this off air, but this does remind me a lot of Alfred Hitchcock's Rear Window. There's like some major parallels between those films, and that's one of my favorite Hitchcock films. So I say, if you're a fan of that one, definitely give this one a shot.
Gets a little more graphic in the aquarium portion, but yeah, it is a good double.
Love how about you, Bugs? That. This was a first time for me. I'm ashamed that I hadn't seen it till now, because this is freaking awesome. I was getting freaking was it Joseph D'Angelo, the ACR rapist vibes, and Dennis Rader vibes from the guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, Rader vibes.
Just vibes. Well, dude, ACR rapist too. He was, that shit's there, and that was around this a little after he first started. Any fucking way. Mm-hmm. If you want me to get to care for people, make them handicapped, and I love dogs, and this motherfucker puts both of those people in danger. So he was on my shit list, however cool he was. Homeboy is a fucking monster, like, but in real life. So I dug it. I got nothing but praise for this movie. He's definitely a threat to some of the slashers that we have so far. So I like this movie a lot, and I can't wait to talk more about it. Especially the Rear Window scenario. Nosy bitches get stitches. That's all I'm saying. What about you, Todd?
All right. Well, no shocker. This was one I was like pushing to get on here too. I'm a fan of this one. How often you get Helen Keller rape? I'll just leave it at that.
Hey. Whoa. Didn't say no.
The blonde in the opening. Did you guys catch the Dawn of the Dead poster? I kind of popped for that in the background. interesting fact about this one. I know most, Dan might know, but this was always cut to shit until the Warner Brothers DVD, probably maybe it eight decade ago, probably now.
Yeah, about 10 years.
And that was unannounced. That was just a huge surprise. And now, thankfully, that's the version that we all get to see, which I was a fan when it was still cut. But now that it's uncut, it's even better. Yeah.
Yeah.
This with like Frenzy. I think that'd be a good double feature.
Frenzy too. Yeah.
I would have went Demented, but that's another one not very watched, but not, it's a little less horror. I don't, that's a whole nother thing. It has the struggle snuggle connection. We'll just
fair enough.
The Harry Reams film.
Yes.
Demented.
Not that kind
of Harry Reams film, but yeah.
Forced Entry is another great one, but that is that type of Harry Reams movie.
What a great name. Yeah. What a great name.
That's both. That's a little bit of both.
Patreon review.
That's Todd's top tier catalog.
All right. Yeah. Anything else to say about this one before it enters the battlefield?
Well, we need to rate it first.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, of course. All right. So we rate on a scale of 0 to 5 stars. And for me, I give this one a 4.5. There is that one little thing that always bugged me about it, but I think it's a fantastic movie.
I am a 4 out of 5.
All right. I am also a 4 out of 5.
I am with Dan. I'm a 4.5 out of 5. So.
Alrighty. Sweet,
all respectable sweet. Numbers all around.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a shit movie.
Right. Fantastic movie.
Yes. Well, now it's elimination time. Then we'll talk spoilers after that.
Yes.
I'm sure there's some notes on this one. All right. So now up for elimination, we have Just Before Dawn, Skinner, Slumber Party Massacre, and Eyes of a Stranger. Kruger, you want to go first?
Yeah. As much as I like Just Before Dawn, I think Eyes of a Stranger is, you know, is a better film than that. And I think The Killer also would be able to take out those two fucking hillbillies. So I say Just Before Dawn gets taken out.
I am the same. Just Before Dawn gets the axe for me.
I don't know if I agree about how well he'd fare against the hillbillies, but I do think this is the better film. And I vote to take out Just Before Dawn. I don't know. Maybe he could outthink the hillbillies, but
I think he would.
The way he was able to handle one of the male characters in this film, I think he would do just fine.
I guess fuck what Todd thinks, but it doesn't matter. I would have picked the same thing, so we're all hey, in on all this right. one.
There we go.
So there we go. Officially eliminated is Just Before Dawn. So now we have Skinner, Slumber Party Massacre, and Eyes of a Stranger. Next episode, we will have Charlie's Farm. But before we go any further, Dan, you want to give him this warning and all that fun stuff?
Yes, if you haven't seen this film, which you may not have. Like I said, this is one that not everybody's seen by any means.
Available now on Scream Factory Blu-ray. We should point that out.
Yep, just not too long ago on Scream Factory Blu-ray. And they did a good job with this Blu-ray. So yes, if you don't want it spoiled, now would be the time to bow out.
All right. I guess I'll just fucking start off. The opening scene when the photographer, you know, finds the body and, you know, sunken in the river, and, you know, he finds it through the lens of his camera. Thought that was a great opening shot. And then from there, we get the killer tormenting that Debbie chick and him calling her, which totally, you know, straight out of Black Christmas, and him going, "I'm going to fuck you, Debbie." Like, that was just awesome. And then, you know, that whole kill sequence, Debbie's boyfriend gets decapitated by a meat cleaver. And, like, you know, the gore was actually pretty damn good for it. And I like the way we saw it through the reflection of the TV, because, like, it kind of just brought a whole nother, like, creep level to it. And it looked stylistic because we weren't looking at it, you know, just head on. You know, we saw it through a reflection or something. So I thought that was really cool. And then, of course, Debbie finding the body still gushing blood and then seeing his head in the fish tank. I thought that was fucking awesome. So like that scene like completely sold me on the movie. And then, you know, the way he strangles Debbie after and, you know, is ripping her clothes off, you know, that was a pretty damn disturbing scene. I also, you know, liked when the killer's car gets stuck and the one couple, you know, is, I think they're like fucking in the car, you know, near him or whatever. And the one guy like keeps getting distracted by him trying to get his car unstuck. So he comes out and he's like, "Hey, do you need any?" And before he can even finish his sentence, the killer just stabs his ass right in the fucking neck. And I'm like, oh shit. And I was just like out of nowhere. And then, you know, the killer then appears behind the girlfriend, stabs her in the fucking neck through the window. I thought that scene was great. And then the ending with fucking the way the killer was tormenting the, you know, the blind chick. I thought that was great. And the way, the way her sister comes in, you know, to save the day, and you see him, you know, get his brain splattered out in the shower. I thought that was pretty cool too.
Yeah.
My beef with the movie, and like I said, obviously I love it, but, I didn't like that the senses started to come back, and
you know, yeah, I get that.
Cause it was like, well, this is reality based slasher. It just, I thought that was kind of dumb. I think she could have outthought him, you know, and fought him in a different way. He's still on her turf, whether she's handicapped or not.
It was part of
the human part of the, and the mind is a fucking weird thing. I think it's pretty realistic.
I was going to say,
you don't get your sight back though if you're blind.
Yeah, she wasn't blind. It was a part of the story. Yeah, it was a part of the storyline where it was because of the traumatic shit she went through. Like, she wasn't like legally blind. It was like she lost her senses because of.
Guys, I maybe haven't heard of a case like this. Dan, but I don't know.
Dan doesn't think women can be traumatized. Remember from way back?
I just,
you're right.
I don't know. I've never heard of a case like that. It always kind of bugged me. I don't think they needed to have that. I think she could have outthought him.
I don't think they need to have it, but like cases like that, like you've heard of the mom lifting the car to save her fucking baby. It was the same shit. Fight or flight.
It's a little complaint. I just felt like
I get that. I do get
that. Oh yeah, I understand. But okay. My big complaint is, why'd you fucking hurt the dog? Like, you could have
made you feel something. You know?
Yeah, but like, come on, man. I was on your side this whole time. Even when you're attacking a handicapped girl.
Serial killers will usually take out the dog though, let's be real. That's how it starts.
Yeah. Yeah, other than that, I got no spoilers. This is fucking awesome. God, that fucking head in the fish tank is fucking gnarly.
It's good. It's a good image. The meat cleaver just caught me off guard because, I mean, that was some straight up Friday the 13th, you know, style kill. So I was like, holy shit. All right, we're ready to party. I wasn't disappointed at all. So, yeah, 1981, man. Fucking golden year for slashers. Jesus Christ.
And we didn't mention it. It's from the earlier, we probably should have. It's from the director of Return of the Living Dead Part 2.
No, okay. I did. Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay.
And Shockwaves, which is his.
Oh, yeah. That's his bigger one.
Yeah.
Did you mention Tom Savini on effects?
May not have. No, I don't know.
Oh, did he do effects for this?
Yeah, that was the big thing about this, because it was finally Tom Savini's effects.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. That makes total sense why the beheading was so great then.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's fucking awesome.
I'm changing my 4 to 4.5. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Do we have anything else on this one?
Not spoiler wise.
Check it out. And guys, be sure to like, share, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff to help us grow here on YouTube. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this battle goes. Fleshwoundfeatures.com. All the links are below.
I hope they're not all this smooth.
Yeah, we've been pretty civil so far.
I don't think it's
going to be. I think by the end of this, I'm going to want to kill one of you motherfuckers.
I got one I'm going to fight for already, so I'm ready. Hopefully I don't need to, but all right.
Chelsea. On that note, with that being said, gentlemen, let's get the fuck out of here and enjoy the rest of our October. Dan?
Good night, guys.
Todd?
Heil Shine.
Stay sick, motherfuckers.
All right, I'll see you in Disneyland.